Tonight's title is called Fasting Information. Somebody lock the door now. Lock it. Hallelujah. Before we really get into tonight, I want to recap a little bit from the last couple of messages that I brought forward anyway. And the title I think we put on the most recent one was, What Can You Believe? See, everybody is at various stages of believing. And you know what I found out? The Lord, He will meet you where you are. I have, and I mentioned this in that previous lesson, I have found through hard experience, it's difficult, and can I say dangerous, to try and live on another man's faith, okay? You have an individual walk with the Lord. And if you'll examine your heart, you really know where you are, okay? Now, doctrinally, I don't think you were here. Doctrinally, I mentioned there was one episode I had where I had been diagnosed with a permanent heart condition that the doctors have no cure for. It can be regular. It was called supraventricular tachycardia, okay? And there was no cure for it. So, but they can be regulated with this medicine that they put you on. And really, that diagnosis there is what caused me to stop driving the trucks years ago. You know, it's not good to be driving an 80,000-pound rig if you could black out at any moment. That's just not a good thing. So, anyhow, so I started taking that medicine. And as long as I took the medicine, I didn't really have any symptoms. Trouble is, that medicine, and they had me on four times a day I had to take it. Trouble is, that medicine accelerates the onslaught of arthritis in your body, which I did not need in my 50s at that time. So, you know, we had a man come by and give a testimony. He prayed, or somebody prayed for him. A healed man doesn't take his medicine. He flushed his medicine down the toilet, and he's been healed ever since. So I heard that man's faith and that man's testimony, and I thank God for that. I'm not belittling that. See, I don't know that man's walk with the Lord. See? Well, in my foolishness, I went home and I said, well, bless God, I'm healed. David already prayed for me and different things, and I'm going to flush my medicine down the toilet. And I did, and everything was fine for 7 days. It took about 7 days for that medicine to get out of my system, and I had a really severe episode, and I come within a few breaths of leaving the planet. And what's a good thing to do right after a time like that? Try to get an appointment with Pastor Dave. And I did. I managed to get in touch with him. And just it's such wisdom. He said, listen, Gary, God is not obligated to manifest your healing, or let's just say your miracle, because you throw your medicine away. You don't find any scripture for that. He said, no, He is obligated to manifest your miracle when you believe. And the very verse that he quoted to me was Mark 9:23. You don't have to turn. Really, if you want to get started, go to Matthew 6. That's where we're going to start tonight. But he says, Gary, the key is believing what you believe. And he says, the Lord is very gracious. He will meet you wherever you are. And the good news is, see, God doesn't change. His word doesn't change. But the good news is we can change. So the verse that he quoted was Mark 9:23, where Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. So believing is what's important. Now, the trouble of it is we often think we're believing when we're not believing, see? And, Matthew 17 is normally where we go for that, where the man brought his lunatic son. Some would think today they might call it epilepsy, but he would have seizures. It would throw him on the ground. He would foam at the mouth, gnash with his teeth. That thing would roll him in the fire, throw him in the water. It was pretty bad, you know. And the disciples did everything that they had done previously, I'm sure, to try and get the boy free. And they had already had some success with healing and casting out devils, but they couldn't get this one free. So I thank God that the story doesn't end there, because if it ended there, then there might be some justification for that false doctrine that says it's not always God's will to heal. Well, I take exception with that, because Jesus says, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. And you can study it out for yourself. Every person that came to Jesus for healing, they wound up getting it. Every time. 100% without fail. Surely that's to teach us what the will of God is. It is His will to heal. So the disciples knew that, I think, and so they asked Jesus. They did not realize they had any unbelief, and that's our problem a lot. That's Gary's problem a lot of times. I thought I was fine. I'm healed. I'm going to flush my medicine down the toilet. Yes, bless God. Shandai my Hyundai and confess the word and I'm fine, you know. Then I nearly died. And I'm not going to reteach that. See, what I had to do for the next 2 years, and what Dave told me, he said, Gary, refill your prescription. Start taking your medicine again. Thank God for doctors. How many thank God for doctors and medicine? See, I don't think it was the devil that put aspirin in the earth to help us. Do you? I think that was God, okay, you know? And thank God for medicine and doctors that can keep you alive long enough until you can build your faith, okay? Hallelujah. So what Dave told me, and I thank God for Pastor Dave, he said, Gary, refill your prescription, take the medicine just like the doctor told you. But every time you take it, he says, do your own teaching. I'd already started doing a little teaching here at the prayer center. He says, you need to get you some scriptures. And when you take your physical medicine, take your spiritual medicine and confess those scriptures. And then I remembered other teachings and others that I'd had in the past. And they would teach about speaking to your mountain. Talk directly to the mountain. Quit talking to everybody else about your mountain. You talk to the mountain. So I had two or three scriptures that I would say every time I would take that four times a day. I'd take the medicine. And then every time I took it, that was my trigger to remember at least those four times. And it wasn't, you know, it was like the verses I chose were like, one of my favorites is, I will bless thy bread and bless thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. To me, that's real simple. I can understand that one. And another one is, by his stripes I was healed. And another one, himself bore my sicknesses and carried my pains. I figured that ought to get her done right there. See, so I would confess those scriptures. And what happens? Well, you're preaching to yourself. Every time you hear yourself say God's word, you're first preaching to yourself. Because listen, your body is preaching to you all the time. It's preaching to you. You know, if you're going through things that are painful especially, your body preaches like 24/7. No, you're not healed. You're not healed. Feel that pain. Feel that. Feel that. You're not healed. You know. Well, you got to preach back. You got to preach back. You got to speak God's word. Even when Jesus himself, now this was a little different, but he was tempted by the devil. He didn't use anything except God's word, but he didn't think God's word. He spoke God's word. When you speak it, that's a whole. We'll get into more of that later. So anyway, I had to work on my believing through the process of speaking God's word. Then I would speak to my heart. I would just say, heart, you be normal. I don't care what the doctors say. I don't care that it's incurable. I call you healed and whole in Jesus' name. I call you free of supraventricular tachycardia. I can't hardly even say it today. You're a normal heart. Gary, you're going to live a long time. You know, this was a long time ago when I said that. Well, over a period of 2 years, and you can get the details from last week's message, over a period of 2 years, the Lord began weaning me off of that medicine. First it was take every fourth, or skip every third dose, and then it was skip every other dose, and then it was over a period of 2 years, it was about 6 months in between every interval. But all during that time now, I'm speaking His Word, I'm talking to my heart, I'm doing the other aspects of what we call the message here. Of course, I was praying in tongues and doing some fasting and different things. But over the course of the next 2 years, everyone say, though, 2 years. Say, not 2 days, not 2 weeks, not 2 months, 2 years. Over the course of that 2 years, he weaned me off, and my bottle was empty, and I was going to go get it refilled, and then I heard him say, you'll never, don't refill the prescription. You'll never need that medicine again. You're healed. I heard it. That was May of 1998. This is January of 2016. I'm pretty sure now I'm healed. Even my own soul now believes it. Now it believes it based on physical evidence, okay? Now I used to say all the time, I've never had another symptom, but then after that I did have two different times in all these years. The enemy tried to put those same symptoms back on me again, two different times. You know, one of the gospels says even after Jesus was tempted by the devil, one of them says the devil left him until a more opportune time. Even with Jesus, he came circling back around, see if he can get him again, see. Well, twice in all these years, he circled back around, and those same symptoms, I still remember them, those same symptoms tried to come on me again. But by this time, I had some knowledge I didn't have before. I rebuked that, and I said, no, you cannot exist in my body. And those symptoms ran like a scalded dog. Amen. And I am healed. So what we're talking about is building our faith. Increasing. What can you believe? Well, what you believe can increase. Our faith can increase. We don't have to stay where we are. And thank God he has given us tools. Thank God for it. We wouldn't even know there was a heaven if we didn't have his word. We wouldn't know there is a Savior if we didn't have... We wouldn't know we were lost if we didn't have his word. We wouldn't know in it. So thank God we have his word. And we're all in the process of renewing our mind to agree with what this says. Thank God he's given us his spirit, the Holy Spirit, who is the teacher of the body of Christ. And I thank God for all the time that we can spend praying in other tongues and the Holy Spirit can minister those truths to you. Thank God for times of worship where you just literally, there's a bonding that goes on there that nothing else can replace. There's just no substitute and nobody can do your worshiping for you. I remember how the Lord said it through Pastor Dave, but time and again when he was teaching on worship, the Lord would say, I cannot love myself for you, in you. Remember something like that? In other words, only you can worship him. It has to come from you. He can pray for us. He literally can. When we don't know what to pray as we ought, the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us according to the perfect will of God because the Holy Spirit searches our hearts and he knows the plan of God and he makes intercession right along that line, see. But he can't step in and love God for us. He can't worship God for us. There is no substitute. Nobody, hey, come here, Lily. Come here, baby. This is my Lily Cakes. She thinks I'm the best furniture in the house. She's always leaning on me, sitting on me, no matter where I am. She, you know, do I love that? But see, nobody can love me for Lily. Nobody can do that. Lily is the one that expresses that love toward me. Even if she just comes and sits on me, trust me, it doesn't get any better than that. Okay, thank you, thank you. Didn't she do a good job? Hallelujah. Well, God looks at all of us. We're all his lily cakes. That's my lily cakes right there. To God, we're all his lily cakes. I'm his Gary cakes. All right. Getting back to this. We're still talking about believing. We're talking about things that we can do that increase where our believing level is or what we believe. So Jesus himself, and I told you to go to Matthew 6. At least you're in Matthew. Hold your place there. Just go to Matthew 17. I want you to see it in your own Bible. Because what deals with unbelief? Well, a lot of these tools deal with unbelief. Meditating his word, confessing his word. That's how you have faith for everything. To find out Alan said recently, faith begins where the knowledge of his will begins. You can't be saved till you know he wants to save you. You can't be healed till you know he wants to heal you. Amen? Well, all of those, we have many tools, but one of them that is most neglected, and I thank God for Pastor Dave again, who has taught all, I'm not teaching anything that he hasn't taught many times. Fasting is one of those tools, but it's one of the less obvious tools. Fasting is one of the less obvious tools. So in Matthew 17, when they couldn't get it done, they prayed, the disciples, I'm talking about the epileptic or the lunatic boy, they prayed, they shouted, I'm sure they used the name. They did everything that had worked before, but in this case, it didn't work. Jesus comes along, and he rebukes the devil, and the thing runs off, and the boy is healed. Well, they asked the right question, and that is in verse 19. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart, separately from the crowd. I like how Dave says that. They had enough sense to ask him privately, because if they'd asked him publicly, he would have told them publicly, and they didn't want to hear it. And they asked the right, this shows what this is. It says, why could not we cast him out? Now, there is tons of revelation knowledge right there. Why ask that question if you knew what the reason was? See, they thought it was something outside of them. well, this is just a particularly nasty devil. Maybe this devil has a, we would say, a bloodline. Maybe this devil has a spirit line. I'm sorry. That's stronger. It's a particularly nasty, mean devil. That's got to be it. Or maybe it's Thursday. I don't know what. The point is, they did not know that unbelief was on the inside of them. They did not know. They were surprised at his answer. I'm sure they were. Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, it's because of your unbelief. Man, that is hard. That is hard. And I'm sure if it had been anybody but Jesus, they would have rebuked that person. I don't have any unbelief. See, one of the reasons that we have these false doctrines, like it's not always God's will to heal, we're not very much different from the disciples. We prayed. Maybe even we fasted. We got a whole group together. We got in one accord. I'm not taking away. I'm just saying they did everything that they know to do. But they prayed. And the healing didn't manifest. Well, we did everything okay. Therefore, it must not be God's will to heal. And that is just false doctrine. That is absolutely false. The problem is never on God's side of things. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And that's when he healed a blind man. Anyway, getting back to this. So the point I'm trying to make is because of your unbelief. So let's go on. Let's read the rest of it here. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. This mountain, if you read what just happened, he and I think it's Peter, James, and John had just come down from the mountain of transfiguration. They had just come down. What mountain do you think he's pointing to? A real mountain. And he's trying to tell them something. Listen, don't be thinking it's because this devil is big. It's not a devil problem. Listen, faith will move that literal mountain. Don't be thinking it's a big devil. The problem is not that devil. The problem is your unbelief. Wow. By the way, I used to, because it was preached to me for years, I used to think he was magnifying mustard seed faith because it's little. But then one time the Holy Spirit gave me an assignment. And he told me to go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and see if I could find one single time where Jesus ever bragged on little faith. You're not going to find it. He'll say things like, how is it you have so little faith? And he wasn't happy when he said that. So I said, well, what does he mean when he says mustard seed faith? Well, he is on purpose picking something with a very tiny seed. But what makes it faith? See, God's word is seed. That mustard seed has got an image on the inside of it that is many times bigger than that little seed itself. He's saying you got to have faith in God's word, in the image, the hope that it brings to you. No matter what the mountain, no matter how big the mountain, I'm telling you, nothing will stand before God's word and the image that is produced from it. That's real mustard seed faith right there. Mountain, you're leaving. Cancer, you're going. Super trick, that heart thing is going. Poverty, you're going. I don't care what it is, you're going. And I've got God's word. And I've got a hope on the inside of me. Now I'm adding faith as the substance of that hope. And you will bow. Amen. See? But one of the tools, that's still talking about the word and meditating the word and confessing the word. But notice, there is another tool that he mentions here. That until I heard Pastor Dave teach on it, I really thought this had kind of passed away. But verse 21, this is the verse. How be it, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Now if we leave it in context, when he says this kind, he went to great lengths to show them it's not that big devil that is the problem. The mountain is the mountain of unbelief. So when he says, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting, he's really talking about this kind of unbelief. Now, I can understand how prayer, I mean, Lord, I prayed to my, you know, at this church, and Dave taught us about prayer, and I know how the Holy Spirit becomes your teacher, and boy, I know that'll increase your faith and straighten out a lot of false doctrine, but it was the hardest thing. Fasting? What in the world does fasting have to do with unbelief? But how many know Jesus cannot lie? Jesus cannot lie, amen? So if fasting has to do with unbelief, then bless God, let's get on with it, see? So Dave, and I'm not going to reteach that part tonight, Dave would always go through the hands. You remember the hands? You know, this is your spirit and this is your flesh. And like Nathan, I think, this morning said, we're all under a ceiling somewhere. The flesh has a ceiling. They had a ceiling there. They couldn't get above that ceiling. And the flesh, you know, has got you under that thing. He says, well, praying in tongues, we know what that does. That builds up your spirit on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, and you build yourself up, but you keep hitting that ceiling. But fasting, he said, fasting enforces the positional truth of death that's been declared on your flesh. And he says, fasting enforces that. Man, you pray and you fast and you pray and you fast. And finally, he said, you remember, your spirit will dance on top. Yay, 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 boom. You know, you're going down and you see answers to prayer that you prayed 10 years ago. And all of a sudden, now they're coming to pass. But your flesh, how many of you knows it doesn't give up easy? And it goes, no, bam. And tries to put you back. The trouble with fast, you always come to the end of them. I remember Pastor Jin Ho, my good friend, Pastor Jin Ho Kim in South Korea, and he just told me, he says, he tried for years to do a 40-day fast. He said, I'd listen to Daisy's testimony, and I'd get so convicted, and he'd listen to her. You know, it said, I'd listen to her, and I'd try and do one, and I'd cave after 2 or 3 days. Maybe a week. I might make it a week, but I could never make that. He says, I just knew, and I knew that if I ever made that 40-day fast with water only, if I ever made it, I'd finally have total victory over my flesh, and that'd be the end of that. He said, I finally did. And he says, you know what I found out? When the fast ended, the flesh revived. And it wanted some things it never asked for before. See, that's why Jesus said, he didn't say do a 40-day fast and that's the end of your crucifying the flesh, did he? He says, take up your cross daily. See, a fasted life ultimately is what he's after, really, a fasted life. Now, we do fast in between. All right, so let's talk about fast a little bit. Now, this is review. Most of you that's been here a while, you all know this, but let's go to Matthew 6 just for a moment. If fasting has to do with increasing our let's see it this way. If fasting has to do with dealing with unbelief, like Jesus said in Matthew 17, then let's get on with it. Let's see what it says about fasting. One of the things I want to show you in Matthew 6, because I grew up in a denomination that seriously thinks fasting passed away. I mean, there's never any talk about fasting. But Jesus, he included in what I call the when you's. Because people go, well, should I fast? Well, in Matthew 6, he gives us three when you's. The first one, in Matthew 6, 1, take heed that you do not your alms before men. Well, he's talking about giving. Talking about giving. In a little while, he says, look at verse 7. But when you pray, okay, so now we got when you give, when you pray, but then come down to verse 15, and actually 16, when you fast. We got when you give, how many, you know, does the Lord want us still to give? Not just in church. Really what he's talking about there is giving to the poor, sharing some of your abundance with the poor. When we give, are we supposed to wait to pray until he tells us to pray? When you pray. And then the other one is when you fast. This is one of the when you's. This is something that he expects us to do. It is part of putting our flesh on the cross daily. And I got to remember, when he says, take up your cross daily and follow me. There's only one purpose for a cross. There's only one purpose. It's not to humiliate. Well, they did use it to humiliate. But ultimately, the cross is not intended to hurt you. The cross is intended to kill you. And he said, and put that flesh on the cross. And you got to keep it there. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. There's a good book I hear about that. Something about the walk of the Spirit, the walk of power. It's really a good book by this up-and-coming young evangelist named Dave Roberson. I highly recommend that book, you know. And if you can't, it's not for sale. If we have any copies, you can get one tonight. And you can always download it free on the Internet. You can get it. And also, it's available, by the way, from Kindle at Amazon.com. I have it on my iPhone, my iPad, my laptop. So anyway, that's available. But now, fasting. Number one, if you're making information about fasting, this is something expected by the Lord. When you give, when you pray, when you fast. This is not something unusual, even though they never ever taught it in the denomination I grew up in. This is normal Christianity. Keeping the pressure on the flesh. Okay? Go over, or you're in Matthew 6, go to Matthew 9. And verse, let me find it here, 15. We'll back up to verse 14. Then came to him the disciples of John, saying, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but thy disciples fast not?" Well, Jesus said unto them, "Can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them." Now, if you underline, "and then shall they fast." Well, let me ask you, is Jesus in his physical body on planet Earth today? See, the way I wrote this from my own notes, Jesus put more emphasis on fasting in our day after the resurrection than during the time of his earthly sojourn in his physical body. He says, "No, when I'm taken away, then they shall fast." They were operating under his mantle during the time he was here. They were operating. He would send out the 12. He would send out the 70. They were operating under his mantle. I'm not saying they didn't do some fasting, but really they were operating under his mantle here. Okay? But he said, "No, now when the bridegroom is taken away." How many of you think Jesus had pretty good discipline over his body? Yeah, I got some eye rolling. Oh, yeah. Well, see, when he was here in his own physical body, I'm sure he fasted, he kept it under, that was his body. But see, we are his body now. He can't fast his body unless we fast. How? The day that hit me, I was like, I'm not sure I wanted to know that. Because it's too practical. I said, well, no wonder it's a win you. He fasted all the time. He kept his body under. And the only way that his body, he only has one body on planet Earth, and it's us. If I don't do any fasting, my part of the body doesn't get fasted. Do you notice the absence of amens? Isn't that something? So he says, as long as the bridegroom is with them, they don't fast, but the days will come. See, that's the day we're living in. When the bridegroom shall be taken away or taken from them. Well, that's the season we're in. Then shall they fast. But I didn't really know why until later. Thank God for praying in other tongues. And I finally got it. Well, he kept his body under while he was living here in that physical body. He did it, and they operated under his mantle. But now, his physical body on planet Earth is our physical body. He doesn't have any other physical body here. And if he can't get us to fast, if we don't fast, it's just not going to happen. So now we fast because he's not here. Okay. I'll just mention verses 16 and 17. Dave has wonderful teachings already on verses 16 and 17. At his website on the fasting series. Let's just look at it while we're here, though. verse 16 and 17. He says, "No man putteth a piece of new cloth onto an old garment. For that which is put in to fill it up taketh away, taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse. Neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break, and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish. But they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved." Don't you love how Dave teaches that? He goes, they came and they go now. We fast, and the Pharisees fast. But we notice your disciples, they don't fast. We're asking you about fasting. And he says, oh, sure. You don't put a new cloth onto an old garment, and you don't put new wine into old bottles. And they go, thank you. I now know everything there is to know about fasting. Thank you. Thank you. But then Dave goes on to tell us, see, that is normally the case. Let's take the second one. You don't put new wine into old bottles. Well, those old bottles, you put the new wine in there that's fermenting, and it'll break the bottles. So normally you would not do that. If you've got new wine, you would put it in a new bottle. But he said, so nobody does that. But unfortunately, in this dispensation we're living in, that is exactly what God had to do. That new wine is that new spirit on the inside of us. We're a new creature. We're not even of this world. We're from heaven. We're new wine. But unfortunately, in this dispensation, he had to leave us in these old wineskins. He had to leave us in these old bottles. And there's a whole reason for that. He has to have bottles from... He has to have bodies from planet Earth in order to have authority here. And they can't be the new kind that's from heaven. They got to be the kind from planet Earth in this dispensation. He says, normally you would never do that. You would not normally put new wine into old bottles. But unfortunately, that's exactly what the Father's going to have to do. He's going to put this righteous, holy, new wine into this sinful, selfish flesh. And there's going to be a war. Fasting is one of the tools that helps us win that war. It puts that flesh where it belongs, which is on the cross. No, you are not going to have your way. Anytime that Gary, I want to say it, talk about me and not you. Anytime Gary starts getting a little bit puffed up, been praying for 20 years, meditated the word, I have my own website. I don't know what I'm just making stuff up. Anytime I start thinking I'm getting to be a little bit of a hot rod, or if, you know, not that God forbid you would ever think that. You know what you can do? You can just provoke a war real quick. Just declare a fast. And we'll find out who's boss. Think you're such a giant, do you? All right. You're going to meet Goliath real quick. Your flesh is going to raise up and go and... I have come to defeat you. You can almost hear Goliath. Am I a dog that you would send this boy out? Have you come to attack me with staves? I'll show you who's boss around here. I'll make you eat 4 cheeseburgers with the curly fries. Or whatever. And we all know it's true. I mean, man, you want to provoke a war? But the thing about fasting, you can provoke that war anytime you want to. And it's not really life-threatening. Okay, it's not really life-threatening. Anytime you want to, and we should. And that's going to bring me to this point, and we're going to get to some more types here in just a minute. Right near the end of the year, December 2nd, a prophecy came that Nathan referenced this morning. And it's the title of it is, Diligence Shall Be Measured by Consistency. Now, this is the year... Endurance has always been the key, and it always will be the key, but I'm going to talk about Gary and not you. Gary has run a race of sequential endurance. I'll endure real good for a season. Boy, it's quiet in here. I'll just endure, man, pray and meditate and get up early in the morning for a season. Then... And sometimes it's a diversion. Some crisis will happen, but not always. Sometimes I'd like to say it's that way every time. But sometimes it's just, I've had enough of that. And sometimes it's gradual, and I wasn't so diligent for a season. And then you come to one of those Nathan Barbel services where he talks about your conscience. Get you all fired up again, and you go back into endurance for a while. So there's been like these seasons in my life, probably not yours, but in my life. You know, I do pretty good, and then I don't do so pretty good. Then I do pretty good, and then I don't do so pretty good. Well, he's saying here, we're coming to the end of that. That we've grown up enough. Now, how many of you know Jesus wasn't like that? Jesus is not like that, you know. And this is a wonderful prophecy, because he's saying we have come to that place now where our diligence shall be measured by consistency. So let me read a little bit of it to you. We got time for this. It says, many have reached a level of maturity where diligence shall be measured by consistency. Diligence used to mean picking yourself up and going at it again. Picking yourself up and going at it again. And repeating this same process through the years. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. Okay. I have been well pleased. I get that. I have been well pleased with that level of diligence. For it has been what I have used to bring you forward to your current level of maturity. But many of you have reached a place in me where your diligence shall begin to be measured by your consistency. Consistency. I know we're headed to a fasted life. I know we're headed to a prayerful life like Jesus had. I know we're going to a walk of the Spirit on a consistent basis. See? He says, your walk forward into all that I have for you requires increasing levels of growth and maturity, which come by increasing levels of fellowship, which comes by increasing levels of yielding and obedience. Narrow focus on kingdom things, keener hearing, and deeper understanding will be required to walk the path of revival with me. Does that sound to you like we've arrived? It does not. Let me read that sentence again. No matter where we are, how many thanks God for where we are? Hey, I think I can look behind me and I can show you the ruined strongholds that have been conquered. I can show you Jerichos and Ai's in my wake. Bless God. And I'm not going back there either. Trouble of it is when I look ahead, I don't see a stronghold free horizon. There's some strongholds. Okay. What he's saying is, now let me read that sentence again. Keener hearing, deeper understanding. Deeper, that means deeper than where we are, will be required to walk the path of revival with me. So we have not arrived. I think Paul says, where we have attained, let us walk thereby. But forgetting those things that are behind, let's press toward the mark. Amen. You have been faithful, and I am well pleased. But now the light of a new day is beginning to shine. And more will be required of you in giving yourself to me. And this means I will be able to give you more of what I have for you. I am bringing you into a place that you have desired in me, and I will use your consistency. Consistency is part of your maturity, and it is what I need to bring you forward more quickly. Your diligence shall begin to be measured according to your strength and maturity, and it pleases me to say these things. As you dedicate your time to consistently draw near in fellowship with me, know and understand, my desires for you are strong, and my hope in you is unwavering. Did you hear that? I eagerly look forward to the time you devote to me. Excuse me. I eagerly look forward to the time you devote to just you and me. Man. For our life is a fellowship, and in this fellowship there is much for you to receive. Come, be refreshed, and receive from the fountain of who I am. Know my pleasure and know my love, and come and see more clearly who you are in me and who I am. I am love, and I am your victory. Come and receive from me. Now, is that good or what? See, consistency, the time for these has come to an end now. All right. Dave, I'm just going to go ahead and read the first part. Dave, right the very, see, 7 days later, 7 days later, had a word for the whole body here, everybody that's connected with this. And Dave says, he says, the Lord, I want to tell you, to tell some of these who have heard, that they haven't taken some steps that I gave you in the past. And for to go on with me, you need to take those steps. Now, when I heard that, again, trying to be transparent, I have prayed in Gary's own personal walk. The parts of this message that I have really given myself to are meditation of the Word, praying in other tongues. The least that I've given to it is fasting and worship. Okay, those are the short legs on my table, if you'll allow me. So I got two long legs and two short legs. That doesn't make for a very stable table. So when I heard that through Dave, I knew that the Lord was saying to Gary, okay, I've been dealing with you for years, boy, about fasting. It's time to do that now. And I also knew in my case it was worship, to more personal time in worship. Okay, so I have made my mind up. Now we're back to fasting information. We've only got a couple of minutes for tonight. Listen. There are many kinds of fast. Don't assume that you have to start off doing a 40-day water fast. Let me show you something supernatural. Go to Exodus chapter 34. I want to show you something anyway. Exodus 34. People get a little puffed up when they do a 40-day fast because now they've reached Jesus and they've reached Moses, you know. Let me show you something about not even talking about Jesus. Let's look at Moses' fast, the second one, not the first one. Most people don't know he went up there and fasted. He did two of those. On that mountain. Look at the second one. Exodus 34, verse 28. Said, he was there with Jehovah 40 days and 40 nights. Yep, Gary, that's what I knew. 40 days and 40 nights. He neither did eat bread. Yep, I knew it. No food, nor drink water. Please don't try that. You'll die. Do you understand me? It is physically impossible with all that I know unless God supernaturally has called you to do that and is there with you. You have to have God to keep you alive for 40 days without water. I don't know of anybody that can do that. Okay? So that is a supernatural fast. Okay? That one. 40. Look at it in your Bible. He did neither eat bread nor drink water. Okay? Now that's what, get over yourself. Like, I gotta do a 40-day fast. Why are you gonna do one like that, are you? What are you measuring yourself by here? Now, listen. What he's calling for this year is consistency. So let's talk. What he wants is to put pressure on the flesh. Not in, not a week of fasting and 3 weeks of feasting. That's Gary. Actually, a week of fasting and 3 months in feasting, I think. Anyway. There's more than one kind of fast. Now, the easiest one, I think this one, is a Daniel fast. Go ahead and turn to Daniel chapter 10. I'm going to keep you over about 5 minutes. I'm sorry. Not too much, though. Daniel chapter 10. And we'll look at verses 2 and 3. This is, of all the different kind of fast, to me, this is the one. If you've never done much fasting, this would be a good one to start. And it's a genuine fast. I mean, it's in the Bible. Daniel did it. There, and by the way, there's all kinds of help. You can get online and do Daniel fast. And I mean, there's all whole websites devoted to this. I mean, you can get all kinds of fast information about it. Yes, sir. Okay. Daniel chapter 10, look at verses 2 and 3. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 whole weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine into my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Basically, it's a vegan fast. It's vegetables and fruits for the most part, no flesh, no bread with yeast in it, pleasant bread. If you look in your commentaries, that's yeasted bread, okay? So, no wine, no meat, and no yeasted cinnamon rolls and Krispy Kremes are out, okay? That's what he's trying to, that's what he's trying to say. Flatbread, you can have some, you know, that flatbread with no yeast, you know, unleavened bread, and vegetables and fruits and things. And the idea is you're not giving the flesh what it wants. See, that's the point of scriptural fasting, is to not let the flesh have what it wants. Put it, and if you got to start, to me, that's the easy one. I'm on one of those right now. I'll just tell you, I'm not doing it for glory. It's just where I am. I'm on one of those. Why? It's easy. Well, at least it's easier. Today's my birthday and I had no cake. Come on. Come on. And also had no steak. But anyway. Trying to do this thing, okay? I want to keep flesh. I'm more interested in consistency now than I am the steak. I'm more interested in the revival than I am the cinnamon roll. You with me? All right. Another one that you can, if you're not ready for a big, you know, 7-day, 10-day. By the way, there's juice fasts. And we're not talking about the kind where you go and get the sugary juice at Walmart. No, this is where you juice things. You get a juicer and you juice the fruit. And trust me, they're plenty sweet. You know? If you do kale and celery and all of that, just put an apple in there to survive, okay? You're going to need that apple, trust me. All right, we'll talk more. But that's one kind of fasting. But the point is, consistency is the word that he's after this year. Keep pressure on the flesh. You do a Daniel's fast, and then maybe you'll do come off of it for a few days, and then maybe go into a series fast. Now, series fasting is where you can fast one day and then eat the next day. Fast 2 days. Eat 2 days, fast 3 days, then eat 3 days. And then go back 1 day, 2 day, 3 day, whatever you want to do. See, and in all of this, you've got to listen to the Lord and your personal situation. My mother is, thank God, still with me. She's going to be 95 in just a few days. But my mother suffers from acid reflux very seriously. She really can't do any kind of a fast where there's no intake of food at all. She can do a Daniel fast if she wants to or something like that. But you have got to listen to your own body. You've got to listen to not your body. Your body will want cheese or whatever you like. You got to listen, though. You got to use some wisdom, okay? And I would never recommend, and I don't think Jesus would recommend, that my mother go on a 40-day fast when she suffers from acid reflux at age 95. Come on. I don't believe that at all. But he might ask her to do a Daniel fast. There is a fast. See, where I grew up, fasting was you turn down the Snicker bar after lunch. That was fasting. But consistency is the key. So if there's a Daniel fast, that's a good one. Just Google Daniel fast. You'll find more information about it than you can use. Series fasting. Then if you want to get into, there's juice fasting. Listen, you can intake lots of calories with juices. Okay? But all of this is designed. See, even on a juice fast, you'll get plenty of calories. Trust me, you will get plenty of calories. But your body is still not going to like it. It's going to want something else. It's going to want what it's used to. That's the whole point. I went into Dave one time and said, Dave, fasting is hard. He says, good, you're doing it right. If your body's not throwing up a ruckus, you're not doing it right. Well, trust me on any of these. And then you can start doing some water fasts. I don't recommend I'm not going to start out on a 40-day one. Let's make a week first. Maybe make 4 days first. One minister I know of that had great success, had a ministry for like 40, 50 years with great success. He says he never fasted more than 4 days. Now, that was his personal belief. He says when you fast, he says you need to, there should be a reason. In other words, like Daniel. Daniel had a reason he was doing that 21-day fast. And this minister says, I always got my answer within the 4 days. I never had to fast longer than that. Whatever it was I was asking God about, I always got my answer in 4 days. But now, that was him. See, I can't live on his faith either. Now, we're way over already. The point he's trying to make, what we cannot do this year is ignore it. We cannot ignore fasting. It does deal with unbelief because Jesus said it did. And what he's wanting us to do now is be more consistent, not little runs of diligence, not little runs of endurance, but a consistent, constant putting pressure on the flesh so that consistently our spirit man can rise up and the Lord can accomplish through us what it is He wants to accomplish. Did you get anything out of that? It's a good start, isn't it? Good start on fasting. Hallelujah.